And another thing coming at you this fall is we're a church that we believe in community. And so I'm going to talk about this morning that you cannot be a disciple for 90 minutes on a Sunday. It's a lifestyle. And so we're going to, a lot of our small groups have taken a break for the summer, but they'll be kicking back into gear. So if you're not plugged in, we want to encourage you. We have small women's groups, we have small men's groups, and then we have what we call center groups that are groups that come together, men, women, families. We're looking to try and start a young adult ones this fall. And so that's not for you, Tim. I'm sorry. We could have an old adult one for you. But so if you're interested in that. Okay. I'm just going to jump into Jonah. We've been going through Jonah. I'll recap where we've been. Where have we been so far? Do you know where are we at? Does anybody know where we're at in the story? Yes. Good job, Jeff. Jonah is currently laying in a pile of vomit on the beach. And so if you know the story of Jonah, Jonah gets orders from God to go and speak to this city of Nineveh and tell them that they need to repent. Jonah thinks that's a terrible idea. Those people are terrible. We think maybe he didn't think they're worthy of it. Maybe he's afraid. We don't know for sure. But instead of going that way, he goes as far as you can go the other way. God doesn't like that, and so he takes this boat, he's gone to Tarshish, and there's a giant storm. The sailors can't figure it out. They're calling to this God, it's not working. Finally, Jonah says, it's my fault. It's because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. The sailors who don't believe in Jonah's God start calling out to Jonah's God, and ultimately Jonah says, you got to throw me overboard, and so they do. And last Sunday we talked about how the God provided a giant fish to swallow him. And the story really, you know, if you're a VeggieTales watcher, or if you've watched any of this stuff over the years, this story really becomes about a fish. But it's really not a story about a fish. It's our story, and it's the story of the gospel. And so Jonah is in the belly, and this is what we talked about last week. Jonah is in the belly of that whale for 3 days. Don't ask me how that worked. Don't ask me what kind of fish it was. I just know that Jesus referenced it, and God said it, and God can do anything. Because he created all this. Maybe the fish was a one-off. I don't know what kind of fish it was. Maybe it was just a really big salmon for you salmon fisher. I don't know. But anyhow, he's in there. And finally, it takes him 3 days to come to the place where he's repentant. And he cries out to the Lord. And in that, he's like, man, I've messed this up. Lord, you are my salvation comes from you alone. I want to follow you. And that's where we landed last week. No pun intended. He landed on the beach in a pile of vomit. And so we pick it up in chapter 3 this week, we're going to go through 1 to 10. And again, I just want you to listen to this story. I don't have slides. I do have a couple slides for a couple of the verses we're going to look at. But as I go through these 10 verses, actually, I want to start at verse 10 of chapter 2. And I just want you to listen and maybe put yourself into this story, because I'm going to put you in later. Spoiler alert. But just kind of listen to what's happening. So Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, the final verse, it says, the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out into the beach, or some versions say vomit. Picking up in chapter 3, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, and Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put burlap on to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his robes. He dressed himself in burlap, sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. This is a decree. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all the violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they'd put a stop to their evil ways,
He changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. Lord, speak to us from this just fantastic story. Speak to our hearts, Lord, from Jonah's actions to the action of the king and the people in this story. Lord, let us hear the word that you're speaking to us this morning, and let us act on it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Such a crazy story going on here. And I want to break it down in kind of a couple things. And first of all, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And so I think we're ringing a little bit here. Can you hear that up front? I think I'm a little hot. You might want to bring that down. I can hear that humming. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So this is the second time. It's not a different word. It's the same word that came. But the important part here is it's the word of the Lord. If you're in your Bible, it's in all caps. So in the Old Testament, when something's in all caps, it's to signify that they're using the holy name of God here. The Israelites would not actually audibly speak the name of God. In the Hebrew, I think it's like YHWH for Yahweh, but they wouldn't say it out loud. It was so holy. And so when you're in your Old Testament and you're looking through the Bible and you see the Lord in all caps, it is like, this is the most holy God. And so he's saying the word of the most holy, the almighty, the creator God, the word of the Lord came to him. If the word of the Lord came to you, Frank, what would you do? You'd probably listen, right? That's what we would all say. And that's what you would think would happen, right? But we know this is the second time it came. And we know from the story we just recapped that Jonah didn't listen like all of us would, right? Right. We'll get to that later. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Verse 2 says, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and deliver the message I have given you. Now, what I want you to catch is, again, this is the word of the Lord that he is giving Jonah. So this is not Jonah's idea, right? Obviously, we know because Jonah didn't like it at first. But the Lord is saying, I have something, Jeff. I have something that I want you to do. I want you to go to the city, and I want you to deliver the message that I have given you. When they put you on AccuWeather and they send you up there, do they give you a message and say, I'm supposed to give this? If they did, what would you do? Would you give it?
I should give it.
Did you ever get one you didn't give that you were supposed to give? Don't answer that question. I don't get you anything. I won't expose you publicly. This is the word of the Lord. It was given to Jonah by God. And he's saying, look, go to the city and give this message that I have given you. It's an important message, right? And he's saying, Jonah, this is an important job. I've given you it. And you know what? As we're about to see, it's not a long message. It's not a long message at all. In fact, let's read. Let's pick it up in verse 3. This time, and it took him two times, Frank. It wasn't like you. He didn't obey the first time. But this time, he obeyed the Lord's command. Again, Lord is in all caps there. He obeyed the Most High God's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. It's a little bigger than Pleasant Gap, right? It doesn't take you 3 days to walk around Pleasant Gap. It's a big city, 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, catch this, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's the sermon. That's the message. Eight words. 40 days from now, the city will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. Now, we know from back when Susie taught a couple weeks ago that the people of Nineveh, this is like going to, I don't know, I'm not even going to name a country or a place, but this is like going to a godless place that is violent, that is dangerous. You know, this is not some place you want to go. And you're going in there, and you're not going to say, oh, Jesus loves you. You know, you're going to say, 40 days from now, and it's over for all of you. That's the message. That's kind of risky. I'll tell you what, if you jump back a couple verses, it better be the word of the Lord. It better be the message that God has given him, or it's not going to end well for Jonah. But it says this, verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Eight words. Eight anointed words changes a city here. It says they believed. He's not, this isn't like seeker friendly. This isn't like watered down. This is like, God's going to destroy your city. He didn't say, unless you repent. He just said, it's over, folks. 40 days and you're done. They're not really God followers. They're not believers. But there's something about these eight words that change everything. Everything. It wasn't polished. It wasn't pretty. But it was effective. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. All of them. It says, from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and they put on burlap. Verse 6, I don't have slides for this, but it says, when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, dressed himself in burlap, and sat in a heap of ashes. Again, imagine this. This stranger of a God that you don't believe in comes and shows up. He tells you your city's going to be destroyed, and the king says he dresses himself and puts himself like he's mourning. And then he goes on to say he sent the nobles this decree throughout the city. No one, not even animals from your herds, flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. He calls a fast of the whole city. We do a fast every year in January. And this year we're going to say no one, not even your pets, are going to eat or drink for 21 days. And that's not going to go well. They only did it 3. But if we did that, if I said today I'm declaring a fast, Alan, you're not going to eat or drink, and not your pet. You got hamsters, horses. What else you got?
We got a lizard.
Lizard?
Gecko.
Gecko?
We have a dog.
Pick the right guy. He's got none of them are eating for 3 days. You're going to help him explain that. What's Bryn going to say?
She's going to be so mad. But you got to go out there and keep your horse from eating grass.
Right.
You got to figure it out.
This is not an easy thing. Thanks for that point, because this is not an easy thing. But this is what 8 words did. 8 words from a guy who's visiting the city caused the king to say, your gecko isn't eating, your lizard isn't eating. You got to stop that horse from eating. 3 days, calls a fast of everyone. Verse 8, people and animals alike must wear garments of mourning. Everyone must pray earnestly for God. Let's just start there. I'm going to declare that for the next 3 days, you must earnestly pray, and everyone obeys. That's the thing here. They all obey. They must turn from their evil ways and stop the violence. The king declares this, and the funny thing is that the people listened. It was an 8-word sermon. That's all there was to it. But you know what? It was a message from the Lord. Because when the Lord delivers a message, when his anointing is on it, when he gives you a word and you listen, things happen. Jonah could have went in there and preached for 3 hours his own stuff and had no effect. But he had a short message. That's the power of God. When he has something for you to do or say, you have him behind you. You have his favor. You have his power. You have his anointing. And things change when that happens. In verse 10, it says this, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he threatened. No surprise here. Spoiler alert. Jonah knew this was going to happen. He doesn't like it. Susie will talk about that next week. But the thing is he listened and an entire city repents. And again, it's just 8 words from the Lord. This is not a story about a fish. It's about the power of God. It's about people who are lost, who are broken, who are full of sin. It's about all of us. We are all the people of Nineveh. We all need to come to the place where we are willing to repent. For me, if you knew me the day before I became a Christian, you would have thought I lived in Nineveh. I promise you, if you knew me the day I became a Christian, you would say, he is the least likely person I know to become a Christian. But I went to a church service that evening, and the pastor had a word from the Lord that transformed me supernaturally. I wasn't convinced by his words. I wasn't convinced by all the other people. There was something that happened in that meeting that supernaturally transformed me and changed me. I came back to State College after being away that weekend and going to that church service, and my friends are going, what's wrong with you? You're different. Something's changed. And I'll tell you what was changed is that pastor had a word of the Lord that changed me. Something happened in me that shifted and transformed my life. And that's when you're hanging out with Jesus, when you're allowing him to transform you, that's what he's going to do. Our job as Christians isn't to go out and make a good argument about why Christianity is the right decision. Our job is to be right where Jesus wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do in the moment, giving his message to the people around in the moment. How many of us are willing to do that? How many of us are willing? If the word of the Lord came to Aaliyah, would you listen or would you end up in a fish? Probably end up in the fish. What's the point of the fish? I said this last week in case you missed it. The point of the fish is this, that God will do whatever he needs to do to bring us to a place where we want what he wants. And for Jonah, that was 3 days in the belly of the fish. I hope I'm not that stubborn. I hope I don't have to go to that place. But we're all in some sort of fish. He's doing a work in us, and hopefully it doesn't have to get that drastic. Hopefully we listen sooner. Well, here's the deal. He has spoken to us. The word of the Lord has come to us. We do know that what the word of the Lord is saying to Frank. We know what it's saying to Rick. We know what it's saying because it's right here. We believe that Jesus was serious about the Great Commission he gave before he left this earth. Matthew 28:19-20 says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We have the word of the Lord, literally. These are much later than Jonah, but this is Jesus speaking. Hey, this is what I have for you to do. I have a mission for you, Alan, and it's this. Go and make disciples. And we believe this is for everybody. Our core value at Center Church is that we believe Jesus calls every follower of Jesus to be a disciple and make disciples. It's one of our core values. We believe it isn't like Jesus doesn't call us to be Christians or fans or followers. We believe that he calls us to be disciples and make disciples. We take the Great Commission seriously. We believe that that is the word of the Lord, all caps, Lord. It's his word to us. Go and make disciples. What's a disciple? That's important. You got to know what you're making, right? It's out there. Angie did a nice painting of it. It's on the wall hanging out there. But in case you forgot, a disciple is someone who's committed to being with Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, and joining Jesus in his mission on the world. That's what a disciple is. So like I said earlier in the service, you can't be that for 90 minutes on a Sunday. That's a lifetime call. And you can't be that alone. You can't do that by yourself. You have to be a disciple with other people. You have to be growing. You have to be. And so the word of the Lord to Aaliyah and Robbie and Jeff and Ethan and all of us is to go make disciples. The question is, are we going to be the first Jonah or the post-belly of the whale Jonah? Hopefully, it's not the post-belly of the whale journal. Hopefully, we get it a little sooner. We believe that we are able to do all of this by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That, you know, he didn't leave us alone to accomplish this. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is a cool thing. We're an Alliance Church, Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and this is one of their core verses, is that the Alliance is very committed to missions, local missions, international missions, missions all over. But one of their core verses is this, is that it is not by my power. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit working in Jonah that he spoke 8 words and it transformed a city to the point they all fasted, including the lizards and the geckos. Like, that's what we have. That same power that was in Jonah is in us. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. And it's for this, to be the disciples and make disciples he called us to do. He didn't leave us alone. What do I need to do? Just be with him enough, hanging out with him enough, being near him enough that I can actually hear what the word of the Lord is speaking to me. Paul says this, I love this. He says, my message, this is a guy writing scripture, okay? This guy penned the Holy Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, he says this, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." Paul's like, I'm not a great speaker. I don't have persuasive words. But what works is a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that's what those people in Nineveh saw, and that same Spirit is at work in us today. Folks, I talked about this at 242 on Wednesday night. I talked about just the gift of time. Time is our greatest resource. We use the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, and you know that there are you know, that we're responsible to use the gifts we've given. But more than our money, more than our talents, more than our resources, our time is the greatest gift that we have. And we're responsible for using that gift well. We're responsible for what we do with our time on this planet. And I've been thinking a lot about this the last couple weeks as I've kind of just had a journey of, I don't even go into that journey, but it's just like, man, it's so easy to forget how temporary this world is. It is so easy to get lost in like planning for 8 or 10 or 20 or 30 years from now. But really, today's a gift, and I'm not promised tomorrow. We need to use that time well. We need to use that gift for things that really matter eternally. And that happens in your everyday life. Again, being a disciple isn't this morning. Being a disciple and making disciples is when you leave here and using that gift and saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? I don't know what your stage of life is. I don't know. You know, life is busy, but I promise you, within, if you're raising your kids or you have a job or you're retired, wherever you're at, I promise you that God has people for you right in that circle for you to minister to. And I know that, and one of the things I thought of is because of my dad a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, my dad was literally on his deathbed. He was literally not supposed to make it. He had a childhood friend come to visit him. They have been friends since they were little kids. They are still friends to this day, and they've maintained that relationship for 70 years. My dad is 78. And so my dad is looking at this emergency surgery a couple weeks ago. He is on his deathbed, not expected to go through this surgery. And his childhood friend comes to visit him in the hospital. Now, we've been Christians for about, my whole family got saved at the same time, and we've been Christians for about 30 years. And my dad has shared his testimony, his story, and shared Christ with his childhood friend for 30 years and met with rejection for 30 years. But as he lays there, he was telling me his story yesterday. I was visiting yesterday, and he was telling me this story. As he lay there, dying, having what he thought was the last conversation with his friend, talking to his friend about the fact that this is probably the last time, the last conversation they'll ever have, he said, I have to ask you about where you stand in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And my dad's friend said this. He said, Jerry, I'm sorry, but we just serve different gods. And my dad wasn't satisfied with that. So he continued to press him. Again, he's not doing well, folks. He is not supposed to make it. But he is challenging his childhood friend, like, look, like, there's an attorney here. And what do you, I mean, Jesus is real. And he goes, I don't actually know everything he told him, but he did not take that answer. And he continued to press him, like, where do you stand with Jesus? Where do you stand in a personal relationship with Jesus? Because it's the most important thing. He said to him, I'm not going to be here to help you anymore. Like, what do you, and I want to, this is important. And they talk for a while. And as it goes, his friend was like, okay, what's that look like? What does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus? And I want you to know, after 30 years of trying, on his deathbed, he led that friend to Christ right there. So if God can use a man on his deathbed to lead a guy to Christ that he's been trying for 30 years to do it, God can use you at AccuWeather. God can use you at home, wherever you're at. God can use you as you're out running your business. God can use you in your school. He can use you wherever you're at. You just have to be listening for what the word of the Lord is speaking to you. He's not giving you some big assignment and left you to figure it out. Again, if I go back to Acts 1:8, it's the power of the Spirit working in us. I just need to be in tune with him enough to hear what he's saying. So let me ask you a question again. If you were Jonah, and God was telling you to go to Nineveh, how would you respond? How would you respond? I want to say I'd respond, okay, I'm going to go. I trust him. But what if we go to Jonah chapter 5? There's no Jonah chapter 5, okay? I'm making this up, and just bear with me for a second. But what if Jonah chapter 5 said, and the word of the Lord came to Jeph? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord came to Joe and said, therefore, that's what Jonah chapter 5 might say. It doesn't, okay? Maybe that was not a bad illustration, but he is speaking to us. He has told us. He has given. The word of the Lord has come to us, and he has said, go. And the question is, will I respond like Jonah before or after the whale? I want to respond the first time. I don't want to go through the belly of the whale. I don't want to be that stubborn that I need that kind of transformation. I want him to know that he says, go. So my question is, will you go? Will you go? And all that means is, go where? It just means go about your daily life with him. I wake up every morning. I try to wake up every morning. Lord, what do you want to do today? As I go about my day and the things I'm doing, I have responsibilities. I have places I want to go. But as I'm walking out those responsibilities, Lord, what do you want me to do in this moment? As I'm at the grocery store, I told you a couple weeks ago about the story at Lowe's. I wasn't even thinking about it, and it happened for me. I didn't even realize it until later. But just allowing the Spirit to work, that's what we're called to do, folks. That's the word of the Lord coming to us, allowing him to work through you right where you're at in a world of people that need to know Jesus. Because ultimately, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. We just need to be near him. Amen? Let's pray. Worship team, you can come. God, it seems so simple. I read this and I think Jonah's an idiot. Then I realize I'm the idiot. I'm the one that can't hear. I'm the one that's stubborn. I'm the one that's not willing to listen. I'm the one that wants to do it my way. I'm the one that doesn't trust you. I'm the one that thinks I know a better way to do it. I'm the one that thinks it depends on me. But Lord, it doesn't depend on me. I just need to be available. Lord, help us to be available. Help us to be tuned in to your Spirit and where you're working. Lord, there's a world who's broken. There's a world who desperately needs you. We all know those people. So, Lord, in those moments, as you direct us to certain people around us, Lord, let us just, again, listen and trust your Spirit's empowerment to reflect you to them. Help us to not talk too much. Help us to listen for the 8 words you're giving us to share that'll change a heart forever. That'll change someone's eternity forever. God, let us make the most of our time. Let us do things that matter forever. Let us not be distracted with life and all the worries and all the stuff. Let us be distracted and encaptured by you. Walking with you daily. As we go about our daily lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said.